On the line, though, to talk some Kansas Jayhawks football, KUSports.com, Lawrence Journal writer Matt Tate. Every football program is dealing with it right now. Let's start with that. You know, Les Miles last week on Thursday tested positive for COVID. At first, he said he was going to possibly try to coach virtually, which I don't know how they're going to pull that off. But now he's saying he's going to make the trip to Morgantown. What have you been hearing from your end?
From the minute they released that he was positive, they said the plan was for him to make this trip. And you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm certainly not going to say it's impossible, but I don't know that I believe it'll happen. I think that, you know, that's only depending on the hours. You know, at most, you could probably be talking about 9 24-hour periods since he tested positive. And so I don't know if 9 days is enough to get clear from that. And obviously, if you still have it or you test positive, you can't go, you know. So I just don't know that it's very likely that he'll be on that trip, but they've said it all along. They said it last week when he tested positive. They said it Monday. The coordinator said that was the plan, and obviously they haven't really changed their opinion on that. I do know that they'll test Friday sometime before they leave, and obviously it'll be one of those rapid tests, and 15, 20 minutes later they'll know. If he's negative, he can go, and if he's positive, he's got to stay behind. So, you know, it's such an unknown, but I know that I wouldn't bet any money on it, but if I were forced to bet money on it, I'd probably bet on him not being there. It's just that's a short turnaround, and it's hard for me to imagine that. So we'll see, and hopefully we'll know something Friday.
That, and, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but the Baylor AD came out on a Baylor radio show and claimed that it was West Virginia's fault that because of the size of the locker room, Baylor contracted their COVID cases, which I found kind of humorous. You know, we've had that speculation over here as well. So, you know, there's just so much going on from every end. And I think I tend to agree with you. I think Les should stay back. But, you know, I want to go more into his philosophy when he came over to Kansas. Most coaches, especially at a program like Kansas, would go after some junior college guys. He said he wasn't going to do that. He said he's going to recruit from high school. And I obviously admire that and respect that. Give me your perspective of that philosophy. Do you feel like that's the right way to go about it? Or do you think he should have grabbed some junior college kids as well?
Yeah, there's no question it's the right way. And you know, as much as he gets credit for doing it that way, he'd have been a fool to do it the other way because the blueprint was there and the last two coaches had tried to do the JUCO thing pretty heavily and it blew up in their face. And so there's, you know, if he would have come in and done the same old song and dance, I don't think that would have won anybody over by any means. So right now this is a program that's struggling. You know, they had a decently competitive year last year. They won 3 games, which by Kansas standards is certainly nothing to sneeze at, and especially in the first year of a head coach. So, you know, I think people were encouraged last year, and then they lost a lot. I mean, they lost almost their entire secondary. They lost seniors on both lines. They lost their quarterback. So, you know, anyone paying attention knew that it wasn't going to go up from 3 wins last year. You know, it was going to go down, and that's where it looks like they're headed. But yeah, the idea of wins and losses is important always, of course. But right now, I don't think that's what many people are focusing on around here because, frankly, there just aren't very many wins coming. So that's what they have to look at is how's this thing being built? And the hope is that by doing it this way and committing to the high school kids, you know, Les is building something that can be sustained and that can be built up over time. And, you know, that's obviously the goal. But it's going to require getting lucky on a handful of kids. It's going to require a lot of patience from a lot of people. And, you know, it's 2020. I don't know how much patience people have, but their only chance to actually build something that can pull them out of this mess is to do exactly what Les is doing. And, you know, right now he's playing a lot of freshmen, and that's hard because you want to recruit high school kids, but you don't want to play them right away. And sometimes if they're better than the guys you have to play them right away. But I think the idea has always been load up your classes with high school kids, bring them in, redshirt them, let them develop, let them sit, let them learn, and then, you know, maybe get 3 years out of them or something like that. So we'll see. You know, we won't know the answer to that for a couple of years, but that's certainly the plan, and really that's the only way you can go here.
Just joining us here on the Brandon Lowe Show, we have KU Sports and Lawrence Journal's Matt Tate talking Kansas, West Virginia. obviously, Mountaineer fans were super excited to get Neil Brown. They saw what he did at Troy after Holgorsen departs and goes over to Houston. From this side, we're excited. He's in his second year. Give me Kansas's side of Les Miles. Obviously, there was a huge excitement for having a coach like Les Miles. We know his history with LSU and things he's done, his previous stops. What was that first initial reaction when Les Miles came over, and how has that been through the process?
Yeah, I think people were really excited. I mean, you know, obviously his track record at Oklahoma State and LSU has been phenomenal, and because of the state of the program, to be able to attract a guy with that kind of past is big news, of course. And I think it gave people the belief that, hey, this is actually going to change. This is actually going to turn. This guy knows what it looks like and has done it. And that's very true. But, you know, it's also been quite a while since he did it. And so I think the overwhelming excitement was quickly met with a little bit of pause Let's look at it. And like I said, last year was a pretty solid season. I mean, they were competitive in more games than they had been. They won three. It was a great first year, and there was a lot of reason to be excited. But this year started on a horrible foot, obviously, and the questions are out. There's a lot of concern about whether Les is still got it, frankly. It's not something you can judge in a couple of weeks. I don't even know if it's something you can judge in a year or two. I think, you know, we'll know as his contract plays out and he gets deeper into his career here. But, you know, they've got to show, I think, for this fan base, because, look, 47-7 to Oklahoma State 2 weeks ago, 47-14 to Baylor before that. I mean, those aren't good scores. And then you lose to Coastal Carolina to open the season at home. Nobody's excited about any of that if you're from the fan perspective, and you know, they shouldn't be. So I think that at this point, it's let's see what the rest of this year can do. If they can show that they can compete, you know, and be in games and look better than they have the final five games of the season versus the first five games of the season, then I think, you know, people will start to go, okay, well, maybe this is going to go somewhere. Maybe this is a process, and we got to be patient, but I like the direction. But if they keep losing 47-7 and scores like that, these fans are going to tune out soon, and Les Miles or not, championship ring at LSU or not, I think they'll turn on him too. I think people are tired of it. It's been 11 years of complete and utter disgusting football and losses and losses and losses piling up and some pretty bad losses too. So I think that you know, he may have got that excitement and that hero's welcome early on because of his name recognition and all that, but at this point he's in the same boat as anybody else that would be here, and that's, you got to show it, you got to perform, you got to put up on the field, and if you don't, these people are going to check out because they're tired of this program doing what it does year after year after year, and they're just desperate and looking for somebody who can finally get the arrow pointing up, and you know, Les could be that guy, but he also could not. And right now, the jury's very much still out because this year has not started out on a good note.
You know, back to when new coaches come over to a program, and, you know, with West Virginia being the type of program it is, recruiting is tough, especially, you know, and it's got its tradition, and I think it's what coaches use, is it's the only, you know, team that everybody roots for. There's no pro team here. You have that to recruit from. You have, well, you're playing the Big 12 now. It's, you know, that's a brand that you can present that a lot of other schools in this area can't, you know, whether it's Ohio or whoever, Pennsylvania. You know, you get to play in Austin and Oklahoma and some primetime games, play on national TV. You know, there's so many things you can use as a coach to recruit kids into West Virginia, despite the fact of some of the other challenges. But if you're Les Miles and you're trying to recruit high school kids, from your perspective of Kansas, I know you can't be Les Miles and tell me how you would do that, but how would you think that Les Miles would be able to attract those high school kids, especially some of the highly touted kids in the local high schools or close to the proximity of the other states around him, to go over to Kansas and play football and start to build some momentum with Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that he's got going for him is they have terrific facilities. I mean, their indoor facility is brand new, and their strength center and locker room area and all that is state of the art. They just redid the locker room a couple years ago, and you know, I mean, it's maybe not quite what you see at Oregon or something like that, but it's pretty close, honestly. And we're talking at least top 10, top 15 in the country, I would imagine. Now, people are building, people are fundraising, programs are continuing to improve theirs, so that could change quickly. But at least as of today, that's where they're at. And so you get these kids on campus, and they get to see those facilities. It's really easy to recruit to that. So that's a big plus for them. On top of that, you know, Les Miles, again, he's a name a lot of these kids' parents know, right? And so that gets the families excited. Wow, Les Miles wants my son? Holy cow. You know, regardless of what he is today, they immediately think about the heyday at LSU and when he was contending for titles. And so that's a helpful thing for sure. But the rest is simple. I mean, you know, number one, it's exactly what you said. It's the opportunity to play in the Big 12 and to play in a conference where if you have success, you're going to get recognized nationally. And Texas is a huge part of their recruiting base. And so those kids in Texas that are overlooked by, you know, Baylor and Texas and Texas Tech and TCU and, you know, all those other programs, they have an opportunity to come play at a place like Kansas that can go down there 2-3 times a year and play in front of their families and play in front of their friends and also play the teams that didn't want them. And so, you know, that's really what they've got to tap into, that mindset of that blue-collar type of kid that you know, isn't a 4- or 5-star kid but is a 3-star kid with some potential who you can develop. And, you know, that's been how it is all the way going back to Mark Mangino. I mean, you know, Aqib Talib, who just retired from the NFL after a fantastic career and was an All-American at Kansas. I mean, he was a 2-star prospect out of Texas. And KU found a way to get in on him and got him up here. And he had a terrific Kansas career. And he went on to win a Super Bowl and was a Pro Bowler. And, you know, I mean, you got to get lucky, too. But a lot of that was development. And a lot of that was recognition and coaches finding the right guys to go after. So they can't waste their time looking at 4- and 5-star guys. I mean, maybe a couple of 4-star guys here and there. But they really have to build it with that base of 3-star kids that they can coach up. And I think Kansas is a big part of it. Kansas doesn't crank out Division I talent year after year at the high school level, but they've got to get kids that are that level around here. And they have. I mean, they've certainly shown that's an important thing for them, and they've committed to that. And so I think the state is in better shape to produce for KU when there are kids like that. And, you know, so that's the magic formula. But the problem with it is, you heard how long I talked. You heard how long that answer was. It's got to be all of that. It can't just be one of those things that comes through for you. When you're in this shape and the program is this far down, you have to hit on all of that. And that makes it challenging and that makes it difficult. And frankly, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on it because, you know, they're doing it right. They're recruiting the right way. But you can't miss on too many kids or you're just continuing to put yourself behind.
All week, Neil Brown has been talking about offense. That's been West Virginia's biggest Achilles heel. Their defense has been playing really well, and obviously it starts with the Stills brothers up front. Secondary has been playing really well. Tony Fields, a transfer that comes in, and has been all over the place. So I'm sure Kansas has their eyes on all that. What does it take? I know Kansas comes in as a multiple touchdown dog into Morgantown, you know, and that's expected with, as you mentioned, the past two games or three games are struggling. We don't know if Les Miles is going to make the trip. But what does it take? Because I feel like, though, and from a West Virginia fan's perspective, it just feels like one of those games, though, because we've seen Kansas come into Morgantown even against Will Grier and cause some problems. And it seems like those were different kids, but it seems like Kansas is just still one of those scrappy teams that's not going to lay down. And I feel like this is one of those moments where West Virginia fans go, I hope this isn't one of those games where we're biting our nails and hoping not to get upset by Kansas just because we overlooked somebody. I get that kind of a feeling. I hope that's not the case, obviously. But I still think you can't count out Kansas coming here. And I think for me, West Virginia needs to just play their football and not, you know, play down to the competition. For you, what's the big things for Kansas to come in here? Did we punch West Virginia in the mouth right out the gate? What's the big thing for Kansas coming here and kind of set the tone?
Oh, my goodness. You know, they have to find some offense, frankly. This will be their third starting quarterback in four games. And, you know, that's obviously a problem. They have not identified a quarterback yet. And the crazy thing about it is Myles Kendrick's their starter on Saturday, and this is his first start of the season, but he leads them in every passing category because the other two guys have been, you know, struggling but also injured. And so he's getting an opportunity here to do something and to take this job if he wants it. And he can put up a good effort on Saturday. I think it'll be really hard for them to go away from him. So, you know, they're averaging 14 points a game. That's not going to beat anybody in any conference. And so they've got to find some offense, whatever that means. You know, Big 12 teams, Big 12 fans know about Puka Williams. He's a terrific running back. They got to get him going. They've got two preseason All-Big 12 receivers that have done next to nothing so far. And a huge part of that is the offensive line has struggled and not been able to get Puka going and also not been able to give the quarterback any time to get those receivers involved. So, you know, it really is. I mean, they had a bye week, and maybe there was a chance to improve and develop a little bit there. But the reality is, it's got to start up front, and it's got to start with that offensive line, and it's got to start with their offense, because their defense could go out there and play great, but if they're on the field all game, they're going to give up points all game. And so I think it starts with offense, and that's scary, because obviously West Virginia is one of the most efficient defenses in the conference, if not leading in defensive efficiency so far. So, you know, that's a tough matchup for Kansas, but the bottom line is that they've just got to, I mean, you know, Brent Dierman, second-year offensive coordinator, a lot to like about his philosophy, a lot to like about the way he calls games and what he runs and the RPO stuff he does. He's got to find a way to earn his money out there right now. I mean, this is a guy that has a lot of support behind him for his ability as a coordinator, and 14 points a game just isn't getting it done. So I think they've got to get creative right away. I think they've got to find ways to make the game easy on Kendrick. I think they've got to find ways to get the ball to Puka a bunch of times in a bunch of different ways. And you know, that certainly doesn't mean they're going to be successful, even if they do all that. But I think that's where they have to start, because the offense can help the defense, too. The defense hasn't been very good this year, but that's because the offense has been so bad and the defense has been on the field so much that, you know, no defense is going to hold up to that. So the offense needs to put points up, but they've got to stay on the field enough to sustain some drives just to give that defense a chance. So I think the line's about right. I mean, what is it, like 22, 22 and a half, something like that? I mean, it's really hard the way the first three games have gone. It's hard for me to see Kansas going out there and playing a game that's closer than that. But if they do, if they can play this thing, even if they lose by 14 or 17 points, that will be progress. And as amazing as that sounds, that's probably something KU fans will be okay with.
Yeah, certainly. Before I know, I've had you on here for a while, but before I obviously get you off the line here, college basketball practices getting ready to start up for programs. The Big 12 is going to be really good, I feel like, again this year. Especially, we're excited here in West Virginia for this team. Huggins has been really excited to put this team back on the court. They return a lot of guys. And we didn't get to see the NCAA tournament, obviously, for COVID. But what's obviously Jayhawks every year is a contender to win a national championship. But how the Jayhawks, what you're hearing, how's that been? I know there's been a lot of drama around the program and all this stuff that came down with college basketball. But what has been kind of the outlook going into this year for the Jayhawks?
Well, you know, they're a top 10 team again nationally, you know, this probably be a year where they're not picked to win the Big 12 because of Baylor. And, you know, Baylor's one or two in the country. And you add that to the excitement, like you said, with West Virginia and maybe even Texas. There's a lot to like about this conference, for sure. Oklahoma as well. So I think you hit it on the head. I think it's going to be a fun year in the conference. I think there's going to be a bunch of talented teams. But, you know, Kansas will be different because last year it was Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike and two All-Americans, two All-Big 12 players, you know, just everything ran through those guys. But that's, even though they're gone, it's not to say that KU's by any means, you know, lacking for talent. They've got maybe one of the deepest teams I've seen in a couple of decades, really. They have a lot of pieces that they like, and they're really deep on the wing with long, athletic, 6'5", 6'6" type of guys that that can fill it up on offense, but also I really think can be a major problem for opponents on defense. I think their length and their ability to switch everything and you know, just the way they can defend, I think will be really something fun for Bill Self. I think he's really excited about having that option. And then they've still got frontline guys. You know, I mean, Marcus Garrett's a senior this year. He was the National Defensive Player of the Year last year, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year last year. You know, he'll be their point guard this year, and it'll be his team, and he's their unquestioned leader. But I think he's got even more than he's shown in his first 3 years. I think he's got a chance to be, you know, maybe a Big 12 Player of the Year or All-American type. I mean, he's a talented kid, and he plays exactly the way Self would want all of his players to play. So that's obviously a lot to like. And then there's a few juniors in the mix, too, that names people have heard that are getting a chance not only to play bigger roles, but also take on that leadership role and have this be their team and take some ownership in that. And so guys like David McCormick, a big man who will get the first crack at filling in for Azubuike, and Ochai Agbaji, another, you know, guard who's played a ton of basketball the last 2 years here and been a starter, and you know, it's his team now too. So I think they've got a great blend of pieces from, you know, bigs to guards to wings, but I think in addition to that, they've got a great blend of upperclassmen and youth. Bryce Thompson's a five-star kid out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who, you know, had an option to go anywhere in the country, and KU landed him, and so he'll be a big piece of this thing too, and I think they're really excited about his potential and what he can do. So, yeah, there's just it's a different team, but it's typical Kansas. They're loaded, and Self's got all kinds of things he can use as you know, weapons and strategies, and so I think Kansas will be really good again, and I think they'll be in the Big 12 title mix for sure, and probably even contending for the Final Four again, even though they'll be such a different team than they were last year.
I'm excited for some college basketball. I'm excited for Saturday. Good luck to your Jayhawks. And Matt, thank you so much for your time, man. Didn't mean to keep you on here too long, but thank you for your time. Always a pleasure talking to you here on the Brandon Lowe Show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. Tell me real quick, how's that video board look in there?
It looks great. What I've saw, I mean, it's looking pretty good.
It's up. It's ready to go.
Things are good. So I've seen some video stuff, of course, with COVID and everything. You know, things have been kind of weird with media and people to be able to see things. But what I hear, things are pretty good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I love that trip. I love that arena. It's always my... If it wasn't so far, it'd be my favorite by far. But I'm anxious to see that new board, because that old one was kind of small.
Sure.
So it'll be cool.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, man. Maybe I'll even run into you.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.